This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Let's get right into this episode. Of course, things got real. We're full of turkey. Here we go. Oh, great theme song. Listen to this.
If I were you, I'd tell you what I'd do. I know a way to make a bed, sit down and write a letter to your two favorite Jews. And if you were me, I know just how you'd be. You'd have a sticky situation and a little terrorization, some problems with your family. Oh, this is the Game Boy here to help you with your life. Oh, well, I hope of all the questions they pick mine, they pick mine. If only I were you.
Very soothing.
Damn, Daniel. That was really good.
Voice of an angel on that, man.
That guy is Jesse Gold, who I believe we've used his theme songs many a time.
We met him one time in Toronto.
Yeah, and I ran into him in Santa Monica. He's as cool as the name Jesse Gold would lead you to believe, plus his music.
Like kind of cool and kind of Jewish.
Yeah, exactly.
Little in the middle.
Yeah. Jesse's a great, cool Jewish name.
Yeah.
So if you want to like...
Gold is a cool Jewish last name.
Yeah. Do you think names have a lot to do with who you turn out to be? Like if your name was Moisha, do you think you'd be cool?
I bet not.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like the first really big executive decision your parents make in molding your future.
Yeah, it's true.
Will you be a Jesse or a Moisha? Those are the only two options.
Your parents wanted you to be a Moisha. That's why they named you Shmuel.
And I begged and pleaded as a six-day-old for the name. At least give me an ambiguously Jewish name like Amir that I can overcome in some capacity. They said, fine, Shmuel for middle. Thanks, Jesse Gold. You can follow him on Instagram and everywhere else, at Jesse Gold Music. That's it, at Jesse Gold Music.
Dope.
You know that song Wagon Wheel?
So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that like a popular song that a bunch of people do, or is that like a Darius Rucker song?
I believe the story of that song is that it's an old Bob Dylan song.
Oh.
But then it was made popular by like Old Crow Medicine something.
Oh, even newer. Or
yeah, like
older.
They covered the Bob Dylan song because it wasn't a popular or even Finnish Bob Dylan song.
Oh, really? And then they just like, we'll take it and we'll finish it.
Yeah. And then I think it's like, it was such a popular cover that everyone's covering.
Floodgates are open.
Is what I think.
Oh, mama, rock me. Great song. That's my parody request of the week. If you have a wagon wheel, If I Were You show cover.
Ooh, nice.
All right. What is this show? This show is a podcast show,
podcast
obviously.
Podcast me, mama, like things got real.
Oh, that's really good. Yeah. Oh, podcasterots me. I don't know. Listen, I'm not the artist. I'm
you
just the
are.
Host.
So see if you can make it better.
You figure it out. That's me throwing the lyrics at an intern that has a guitar in his hand. He doesn't know how to play it. It doesn't matter. This is an advice podcast. So the way it works is that you download it with a podcast app, or you can stream the audio live on your computer. You can hear us talk. And the way it works is that the things that we say are so kind of entertaining and kind of humorous that it makes pedestrian or boring tasks or obligations seem to fly by in
your
a faster
commute
way.
Or your workout.
Right. So, like, let's say you're washing dishes. That's usually where I go to, and it seems it's a mundane or tedious task.
Do you listen to podcasts while you're washing dishes?
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you think other people might?
Yeah, I think they might.
But you, when do you listen to podcasts most?
Ooh, good question. Driving, I would say.
So you, all right. So you listen to podcasts most when you're driving. Mm-hmm. But the example for someone listening to a
washing
podcast
dishes.
Is washing dishes. All right.
So you're washing a dish, and you're listening to us talk. And I guess in an ideal way, it makes you laugh, and it makes you happy, and it makes you smile.
That's what a podcast is.
Yeah. And this specific one is us answering people's questions. People are often confused in life. We say you can ask us about anything you want. Any advice you need, Jake and I are proud and humbled to give it. Mm-hmm. 90% of the time it's relationship advice just because that's what people are most confused about. But we'll take anything at this point.
That's true.
If you have your own questions or maybe even your own theme song submissions, the email address for everything is ifireyoushow@gmail.com. For this episode, I found a couple questions. You found a couple questions.
I wonder if we found the same questions.
Oh, I did not think that far ahead.
No, we did not.
Which leads us to the first theme of the podcast. We are sort of adult children. We don't often think ahead.
That's why our show is called If I Were You.
That's
and
right.
Not Good Advice from Therapists.
Right. Which is a much more boring but probably intellectual podcast that you should also subscribe to. So do you have any questions called FWBFTW?
No.
All right. So why don't we start with that one that I found from a lady, a sophomore in college. You want to give this lady a fake name? Just so we can refer to her while still preserving her anonymity.
This is really for people who've never heard the show before, huh? Not a single inside joke for the rest of this time, guys. So get all your your day one, your Josh and Vance, the pinch. That's out, all right?
Yes, dude.
Yes, dude.
This is like the end of the Terminator where he sort of morphs into everything.
Yes,
seize
dude.
Seize the cheese, dude. Rah, day one, hack on ya, goose.
Hashtag dope. All right. This lady's called Kenzie Boner.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
Listen up,
it's
Diva wrote.
Boner is a silly word, and Kenzie's a dumbass name.
Go ahead. Clearly, we're just slighted by somebody named Kenzie. Somebody at the gym just beat
sucks.
You up. This one's called Kenzie, and I beat the shit out of him. I know it's a lady. I'm so sorry. Kenzie Boner writes, I'll get right to the point. I'm a sophomore in college, and I lost my virginity 2 months ago.
What up?
I had been waiting for the one, but then I got horny.
Oh. You never want to be horny.
There's only one way to alleviate the horniness. So, about 3 weeks ago, I started a friends with benefits relationship, but due to scheduling conflicts, we were only recently able to have sex about a week ago. So the second time we boned, he ended up sleeping over, and we cuddled throughout the night. Now, I chose this guy for a reason. We don't agree on many fundamental issues, so I know we wouldn't make a good couple. However, after the cuddle session, I realized I'm starting to miss intimacy. So should I A, ditch this dude and wait for someone special? B, continue this friends with benefit relationship that teeters on the line of a real relationship, you know, text throughout the day, cuddle session, sleepover, goodbye kisses. Mm-hmm. Or C, lie to myself about not actually needing intimacy and continue this friends with benefits relationship while avoiding those constant text, snaps, sleepovers, and cuddle sessions. Thanks. Love the show. I'm a day one baby.
I don't know what that means. There are no inside jokes anymore.
Okay, so I don't understand her three options. Maybe some of them are like overlapping. Let's pretend like you don't have these three options. You could do whatever you want.
I fucking hate multiple choice.
Yeah.
All right? This is my life, my show.
Well, it's her life, your show.
Okay.
Still one out of two, I bet. So she's in a friends with benefits relationship, and she's like, wait, maybe I do kind of like, I miss cuddling and intimacy. So what should I do? Should I ditch this dude for someone special or just continue on this thing and pretend like I don't give a shit about the intimacy?
And there's not an option of her being intimate with this guy because they don't agree on anything.
Yeah, they don't agree on many fundamental issues, so we wouldn't make a good couple.
For instance, I like him and he doesn't like me.
That's the biggest fundamental issue in every relationship. What are your thoughts on me?
Let's say, I think if she It sounds like she wants something more than a sexual relationship. So since she got her horniness quenched,
yeah,
she might as well forget about this dude for a bit and try to find a boyf.
Yeah, or she can continue with this dude while she looks for the boyf.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about friends with benefits. They're kind of low stakes.
Yeah, it's this or nothing while you look for a boyf. So if this is better than nothing at all, then right, you can just continue doing it while you look for a boyf.
This is like sex and no intimacy.
Yeah.
But then searching for a boyf is no sex and no intimacy.
Right.
So you might as well have the sex if you enjoy the sex.
And the intimacy if you enjoy the boyf. Coming up on NBC's The Boyf. What are your thoughts on cuddling after a random one-night stand-esque hookup?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, you love it?
Yeah.
So even if it's like a one-night stand thing and you're like, I'm never going to see this person again.
Sometimes especially. I love to have like a girlfriend for the night.
So like spooning, hugging, kissing in the middle of the night.
Kissing in the cheeks.
Yeah. And then you're like, all right, bye forever.
If I had it my way, I would like also be able to say I love you during a one-night stand. But it really confuses people when you never see them again after that. So
I learned that the medium way.
I'm definitely down for, I like cuddling. I'm a cuddler.
And then have you ever been like the victim of someone who's like, all right, I got to go. And you're like, wait, but don't you want to stay and cuddle? Like,
yeah, but
like, no, this was a hit and run of sorts.
When like that's happened, like somebody's like, all right, I'm going to go home. Like, you know, you can sleep here. It's like, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm usually like, that's fine too.
That is an interesting rule some people have. Like, I'm not sleeping over. I don't like sleeping over. Well, though some people, it's more, not a rule, but more like they're not comfortable. They don't get comfortable. They're unable to sleep in other people's beds.
Yeah. And that's fine. I think that the rule for that is always like, if the person wants to fuck and leave, that's kind of like, that's got to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you can't just kick someone out of your house after you've brought them home.
What if you sleep in their bed? Are you just assuming I'm sleeping there? Or do you ask for permission?
I don't know if my rule should really check out. I guess it's definitely a case-by-case basis. Because I've been in a position, too, where someone was like, you can go. And I sort of felt like they wanted me to. And I was like, all right.
I'm leaving then. It is 4:12, though. Maybe I'll leave at 9:30.
I think this is what everybody hopes out of a one-night stand, but why does it feel so mean? I should go. I'm going to leave.
Can I cuddle you before?
I love you.
It is funny. It's like you have basically a girlfriend for the night. It's such a loving way to sleep with someone that might, in fact, be a stranger.
Yeah.
You might kiss them goodbye like you're going to work for the 1,000th time.
It's funny how that's more intimate. Like, you can literally, like, you know, you penetrate somebody and have someone enter you.
Sure.
Swapping bodily fluids, coming in front of, like, into someone or on someone or with someone.
Something that your best friends haven't seen.
The most intimate thing in the world. And then, like, you don't want to, like, stroke someone's hand in the morning. Like, oh, that's a little too real.
Yeah, because once the light comes up, the magic is over.
I guess I always imagined it was like, once I leave the room, the magic is over.
You shut the
door.
So
like in that, in this room, in this cocoon of lovemaking,
theater.
I feel like we're in a relationship.
Yeah, you're maybe walking to the bathroom naked. Mm-hmm. You're opening the fridge. It's very boyfriendy.
Oh yeah, chugging milk.
Oh,
totally
that's
nude.
Good. And she's like, "Can you not?" And then you're like, "Okay, here we go."
Wipe my milk mustache off, belch, and say, "You don't love me anymore."
Yeah, you give her a gross kiss, and she sort of like laughs and is disgusted at the same time. It's very cute.
That's nice. That's a movie.
And then you plop down next to her in the bed, and she's like, "Oh shit, my mom's calling." And then you're like, "Oh." Let me guess. She's asking you about like Aunt Elise.
I know some really weird, like, intimate information.
Yeah.
How did you know about my Aunt Elise?
Don't worry.
Quiet, Kenzie.
This wasn't about you. So, in conclusion, still have fun. You can have fun with this guy. You don't need to be in a relationship with him. But if you find yourself maybe growing too attached, that's when you should cut him off.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah, all right.
Unless he's getting attached too, then it's kind of like, oh, did we just morph into
BF
and GF? Maybe that's fine.
I wonder how many relationships start with a quote-unquote one-night stand, because that's maybe how the first date goes, and you don't know if it's a one-night stand or the beginning of a marriage.
How many marriages started with a one-night stand?
Interesting.
I thought we were a one-night stand. And how many wedding speeches ended with
I'm trying to think about my relationships, and I believe only one of them began that way.
That's right. And of mine, one of them did too.
So the rule is one always does.
Amazing.
It's called the one rule. The rule to rule them one.
Wait, two of mine did.
Oh, shit.
Sorry.
The exception to the rule.
The exception proves the rule.
Very good.
I've got a relationship question of my own from a lady.
Oh, you mean a lady named Dove Gray?
Yeah. That's a cool name.
Yeah.
Dove Gray.
Sorry, I'm just looking at a tab on my computer, and that's the name of a carpet.
Yeah, a paint chip. That makes a lot of sense, too. Dove Gray. This is actually more of a sex question than a relationship one.
All right, pass.
Well, come on. Dove Gray writes, "Hey, Jake. Hi, Amir. I absolutely adore you guys in the podcast. You seriously make my day. Thanks, Dove Gray."
I have no question.
"I've been seeing a guy for a while now who is really into dirty talk. The problem is, I don't like the word pussy because it sounds gross, yet vagina is too clinical. Do you guys have any tips for dirty talk? And what's a sexy way to refer to, you know, my parking space? Hope you guys enjoyed your holiday, Duff Gray."
So she has to say it. She wants to make a rule that he can't say it.
The reason I chose this is... because I think there's a right answer.
Oh.
I want to see if you get there. And by the way, that is two different ways to interpret it, and I interpreted it as she wants to say it, and she wants to come up with a different way to say it.
Got it. Like, I want you to eat or chow down on my ex. Or,
my blank is so tight. My blank is so wet.
And she thinks vagina's too clinical and pussy is too crass.
Yeah. Well, you want to say, like, oh, yeah, my vagina's so wet. That sounds like... some sort of issue.
Yeah.
My pussy's so wet. I mean, I still think that sounds hot, but maybe I'm completely wrong.
So there's a word for that that's in between vagina and pussy.
Did Donald Trump ruin pussy for us? Is that one of the other fucking things that he did?
That's what I'm most mad about, I think. He stole that word from perverts. I'm trying to think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a complete I'm just trying to think of any adjective. Like, box is kind of like really crass.
Gross too.
My twat is the worst, I think.
Yeah,
and cunt is bad too.
Right. I think slit's the worst.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Slit seems so really funny. Gross. My slit is so wet.
Yeah. You say, wait, I'm not saying that's the answer. I'm saying that's the worst.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said that's what she should say.
Oh, God, no. Ew. Christ.
Slit, twat, cunt, pussy, vagina.
Mom, if you're still listening, I guess you can just keep it up at this point. We've said the worst we could possibly say.
Is there a less sexy way to say it than me brainstorming adjectives? All right, what do you think it is?
You don't say it at all, brother.
Down there, clit.
You don't say it.
Oh, you don't say it.
No.
So it's a trick question.
Yeah, dude.
So the adjective I couldn't think of was actually the right choice.
Yeah, you just talk about other shit. You talk about his shit. You know what I mean?
So she
put
wants
your cock in me. Like, oh, give me that dick. Fuck me. Spank my ass. Lick my tits. Whatever. You know. But you don't. And I'm so wet. You don't like make. Make the vagina you.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, I'm so tight. Is it tight? You know? You
don't, so it's as if the vagina is talking.
It, and I'm. Yeah, exactly.
In
this moment, you are the vagina.
So two eyes on a little vagina, not unlike some sort of animated
kind of a decent
oyster.
Way to think about it.
Yeah.
If you are the vagina, then you get to say, like, I'm so wet. You don't have to say, my pussy is wet, or my vagina is wet, or my slit is wet, or my
Got it. So, like, in this world, she's a cartoon clam. Two googly eyes.
Oh, you
with
could
a pearl
say that's
for the tongue.
My clam is so tight for you.
And she's saying, ooh, kiss me here. But she actually means her vagina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You say lick it or lick me. Lick me's kind of weird. But that suffice to say, this is obviously the correct answer.
So you're saying don't reference your vagina at all.
Just don't say it.
I want to give her a word just because she really wants a word.
We gave her the right answer. If you want to give her a word, fine. But I stand by my answer.
So Jake says no word, and I say down there.
I'm so wet down there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's my suggestion.
Maybe I guess like if any
girl was saying it to me, I think it was hot. But you saying it to me, my penis just crawled up inside my navel.
You just passed the gay test.
Yes! I was so worried because I've been in a relationship with a man for a long time.
But I have noticed it's been loveless. All right, so those are some options.
Solid options.
That's what I call answers. We're about halfway through our 20 or 45 minute episode, so why don't we take a break right now, come back with even more Q's and A's.
That's great, because I have to pee.
Perfect.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design mm-hmm. a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace.
Yes.
That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's
nah.
It's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement
good.
Movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems
I'll
like
have
it should
to
be.
Check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Anti-movement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But
so it's more
fitness,
of a fitnessnah.com
Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough mm-hmm. is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10%
Ooh.
Off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. And we have returned.
Yes, dude.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was really nice.
Yeah. We should say we're recording this before Thanksgiving, but we can have the conversation as if it happened.
That's cool.
Did you survive the thing?
No, I died.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Right, I'm dead. Dark. I died over the weekend.
That is going to be so dark if it happens.
Dude, can you imagine? The posthumous podcast. I'd want you to run it.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean that, dude?
Actually, no. I'd really want you to end the podcast, dilute HeadGum, give it up, chop it into little pieces. All the podcasts become independent. You stop any writing projects.
This is so selfish.
Yeah.
I just don't want you to succeed without me.
I guess
then people would be like, "Oh, Jake might have been holding him back the whole time."
Got it. I guess I can start maybe start writing some of my own shit that could be like a little.
No, like I wouldn't want you to write anything.
Well, I'm saying like maybe I can even write something about your passing or like some sort of semi autobiographical dark comedy.
If that went forward and it like was successful, then it would be like, oh, Amir was a better writer without Jake, and I really wouldn't want anything like that.
I can make it a little worse than like I can even make it a little worse than I would actually make it.
Right.
So I would make it a little worse, and I would call it your name. I would say to Jake Hurwitz, I would dedicate it to you. So it'd be like a love letter to you.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. But I would really, again, I would hate for something to like.
It would be critically panned.
Huh. That's pretty good.
Oh, fuck you, dude. Is it just me? Is it just me?
Is it just me?
Yeah, we're recording this before Thanksgiving, releasing after, so it's tough to say how the holidays were, but you can safely estimate that we ate a lot.
Yeah.
You could be like, ugh, I feel like I haven't worked out in a few days.
Right. I tried to get a good workout in today before we leave.
Oh, your last, the launch off one.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to bring my climbing shoes home. Hopefully I'm going to climb with my brother a little bit.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
How did that go when you climbed with your brother?
I brought my stuff home. I was going to try to climb two or three times, but we ended up just climbing once. And even then, it wasn't a good session. We just went and got cheeseburgers afterwards.
Cheeseburgers mid-Thanksgiving.
I would like to, I'm going to go on record and say, I know I'm going to get really drunk on Wednesday.
Yeah. Hungover Thursday for Thanksgiving.
For Thanksgiving.
Which is good timing.
Yeah.
You're indoors. You're eating a lot of food. Guilt-free-ish.
Right. Oh, God, Thanksgiving is one of the best.
Yeah, because it's all food.
It's funny. I used to hate Thanksgiving when I was younger.
Why?
I think because it was like
family time, not friends.
Exactly. And now I miss my family. I see my friends all the time.
I'm sick of my fucking friends. Yeah, when I'm doing Thanksgiving, it's just family time. And we're on like go to bed at 10 p.m., wake up at 7 a.m. time.
Yeah, so you're not going to go out on Wednesday night.
No, yeah, I have no going out Wednesday night. It's like I'm going to be at my brother's house with my nieces, hanging out with them. Then maybe watching basketball or something. And then if one of them is down, like the 8-year-old was telling me about this like new club that just opened up in downtown SF. Yeah, yeah. So downtown San Francisco.
No way.
Yeah, she knows the bouncer. So
how?
Because she does like gymnastics with his kids.
So she's 8.
Uh-huh.
And his kids are 8.
Yeah.
But she like got it. How did she get in good with the bouncer and like know that she needed to get you?
Because she's like, my dad's a bouncer. Her friend who does gymnastics with her is like, my dad's a bouncer at that new club.
You're not going to bring her obviously to the...
No, yeah, it would be me and her. It would be you me and her. Yeah.
And then like we would get there. Bottle service somewhere?
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if we have to pay for the bottle service, but if we get it, like that's such a plus because then we get like the VIP table and you can like sort of look.
Does your brother, her father know about this?
No, we probably won't. It's like our little secret type thing. So we're like super hungover the next day.
Yeah. Damn. I think this is illegal.
Yeah.
In fact, you guys are both hungover.
It's funny to imagine an 8-year-old hungover. That has to have happened, right?
Definitely. I don't think it's funny, though, when it happens, I bet. It's, like, probably really, really sad. Because, like, when you're hungover now, you know what you did.
Yeah.
An 8-year-old does... I don't think an 8-year-old could comprehend, like, I drank, I made crazy decisions, and now I'm paying for it today. That's, like, the nice thing about a hangover.
Right.
You're, like, you can recognize...
This is the consequence. The tax.
This is what I'm paying for the fun time. An 8-year-old is probably just like, I feel very sick and it's so sad.
There must be some sort of childlike abuse of parents getting their kids sick or drunk, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Because like no 6 to 8-year-old would willingly do this, drink alcohol. Remember how disgusting it was when you like have a sip of your parents' wine and it like tasted like poison?
Yeah, I remember that. But I remember also my little sister liked the taste of beer. Some babies like the taste of like beer or wine.
Oh, yeah. You get a little whiskey on your finger and you stick it in the baby's mouth.
But they don't like that. But maybe like an old fashioned or a, or a gin Ricky.
A 4-year-old drinking a Cosmo. Sipping on a martini while reading a newspaper.
They definitely make drinks sweet enough for adults to like them. Yeah. You like your drinks super sweet sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure maybe I can. Not anybody in my family, but I would like to get an 8-year-old drunk.
Oh, no.
What?
This is so fucked up.
All right. Do we have... wait, it's my turn.
Yeah, it's your turn.
My turn to ask you a question.
Yeah.
This one is from a dude.
Okay.
You got a name for him?
Tad Daily.
Because we do things a tad daily around here. I recently matched with this babe on Hinge.
Hinge!
And we arranged to get brunch together the next day. Brunch went well, and we decided to go back to my place to smoke. We ended up spending the whole day together. We went to the zoo, watched a movie, went to a party at night. She slept over. Fast forward a few days, we've hung out two more times. Continue to have fun together, holding hands, kissing frequently, cuddling. I even went as far as to delete Tinder and Hinge from my phone, as I don't see the need for them at the moment.
Wow.
This morning, however, I decided to re-download Hinge to see whether or not she was still active on it.
Okay.
Lo and behold, she's still on there pretty much every few hours during the day. I could just delete Hinge again or unmatch her, but I'd sort of rather talk to her about it. What the fuck do I do here? This is really gutting me, but surely it's too early to ask her to delete or not use it. I could tell her that it makes me feel shitty that she's still on there, but I'm not sure what good that will do me, aside from forcing an ultimatum, me or Hinge. What are my options here?
Oh, man. Hinge.
Haven't heard that word in a while.
Is it just Hinge?
Is it just Hinge?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a tricky conundrum. I mean, like, there was no... What was the motivation for him to delete it in the first place?
I think this guy's moving way faster than her. He's like, 2 dates in, I'm like, this is the one. I'm deleting this shit.
Yeah.
And then he, like, re-downloads it, and he's like, wait a minute. I'm not the one to her.
I guess, like, it's fine if you delete Hinge, and you're like, oh, I really like this girl. I don't need to match anybody. But it is sort of an unreasonable expectation for you to assume that she needs to be going at the same pace as you are.
Yeah, I think of this as like cheating. So there's no rule. You can't say like don't cheat. You can't say don't whatever. You have to delete it. You just have to be so good that the person actively chooses you over any but other partner. So if you're like a great guy, then she'll eventually delete Hinge on her own volition. And yeah, it'll mean more because you didn't ask her to do it.
You feel like you've never said to a girlfriend like, hey, by the way, one of the rules of dating is that we don't cheat on each other?
Yeah, I would never say that.
Right.
Yeah.
You just sort of assume that sort of, that's yeah, like an unsaid one.
Yeah. We didn't have to go over that in the intro date. We just assumed that it's not good to cheat on other people. It's kind of the same rule as like when I have to stop seeing other people.
Yeah.
Like if it starts feeling where it's like, wow, I am legit in a relationship with this person, hopefully that other person feels the same way too. And it's not like 6 months down the line and she's still dating others.
Yeah. It's only been a few days.
A few dates. 3 dates.
I mean, these dates do sound kind of epic.
Well, you know, they got brunch, got high, went to a zoo and a movie and a party. And then, that describes 4.5 weeks of a relationship.
Yeah, I don't know when she has time to even go on Hinge right now, but
she's unhinged. Actually, when I was reading this, I took a note. I'm like, going to the zoo is probably a fun date,
especially if you go stoned.
Oh wow!
Imagine seeing a fucking elephant high.
What if, like, the elephant's high?
Yeah, and the 8-year-old that you brought is drunk.
Yeah. So I gleaned from this, you should go to a zoo. Aside from that,
it's a fun date.
Don't ask her to delete it. You can't ask her to delete it. Don't bring it up. It sounds like
I wouldn't even say anything. I would not do a single thing about it. Just continue to be cool, and then maybe she'll just delete it on her own.
Yeah, on her own volition.
And I feel like if you need to talk to her about it, you wouldn't want to frame it as like, so do you want to delete Hinge?
Yeah.
You want to say like, should we stop seeing other people or dating other people?
And I've like, you know what I've done is like, I've kept apps going longer in the background because it's like, oh, I'm not swiping. But at the same time, I don't want to deactivate yet. You know, like, because there's something fun about like, what if I spend 3 months with this person and then I go back to the app and I got a whole pool of people that have swiped me for the last 3 months.
Oh, that's fun.
And then when you finally delete that, that's when it means a lot more because you're like, oh, shit, I'm really just turning my back on all these people.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the hard things that us millennials have to deal with.
Right. Especially if you meet someone on these apps, you know they're using it.
Yeah, the dating pool is so enormous. It really is. It's hard to get out.
It's the middle of the ocean, unfortunately. Yeah. And unless you've matched with a speedboat, there's no end in sight. All right. The end. Next question.
All right. By the way, did you hear Gabrus on Twinnovation?
No.
It's one of my, it's the funniest. It's so fucking good.
That's out right now.
Yeah, I just listened to it. If you guys have not heard John Gabrus guesting on Twinnovation, it's like two of my favorite podcasts collided. It's so funny.
I should also mention that I was on Barely Friending. I can't talk as glowingly about it because it's me, but if you want to hear my voice talking about, I think we talked about casual sex on that as well.
Oh, hell yeah.
Barely Friending episode 77 with special guest me, Amir Shmuel.
Shmoo-y-moo.
So if you guys need
DJ
more
Shmoo-moo.
In the house, if you guys need more podcast content, I'm going to listen to that Twinnovation tonight. Maybe while I'm running my dishwasher.
Oh, there you go. It really, God, it's so funny. They like, Gabrus is just the fucking quickest and Dave is the dumbest. So
it's a match made in whatever the difference between hell and heaven is.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to hear, and also Gabrus had like never heard the show before. So like when Dave's pitching, he's reading a manifesto off his phone. Gabrus is so confused. That's great.
What the fuck are you doing?
What is this? Is this, Dave does this every week. Dave's just talking about the singularity and John is like, I don't think you know what it is.
It's true. It is fun to like hear an outsider perspective on Twinnovation because they have such a shared language and ecosystem that nobody dare question it.
Yeah. All right. And also like somebody that's just like Gabrus that comes in has no interest in like trying to like cater to their audience. He's just like himself making fun of Dave. It's great. All right. Anyway,
yeah,
this is coming from a 15-year-old boy.
Oh,
yeah, what's his name?
Diddly Did.
Diddly Did. Diddly Did writes, I am a 15-year-old male turning 16 next April, and I have a sticky situation on my hands. I'm currently in my high school's 21 and under soccer team, and I'm thinking of quitting because of this shithead team captain. He's pretty good, while on the other hand, I'm not the best, and even though I know this myself, he keeps reminding me that I'm shit every time I see him. As I've said, I know I'm not the best, but I'm definitely not the worst. Even my other teammates say I've been improved and that I'm not bad. He's even told other teammates that he would tell the coach to not have me start the games. I have a couple of years left in high school, then I'm off to college. I was wondering if I should quit the team and not deal with that shithead anymore, or should I push through and stay on the team? My reason for staying in the team is so that I have something on my CV. Do colleges even check sporting achievements? Is it important to have this on my CV? Please help me. Thanks in advance. Diddly Did.
All right. A lot of thoughts there. Number one, high school under 21 team. Who's on the high school over 21 team?
Yeah, that person shouldn't be on the team.
Two.
That's illegal.
I was thinking, if I was 15 now, would I listen to podcasts? Would you listen to podcasts?
I probably, if I was 15, I don't know. Like, did the 15-year-old version of me do things like listening to?
Yeah.
I guess I probably would have because I was like watching funny internet videos and listening to like Adam Sandler CDs.
Right.
Like, I liked comedy albums.
Right.
So yeah, if there was like a way for me to get more comedy, I probably would.
We would be like comedy nerds listening to comedy podcasts.
Yeah, I bet.
All right. So, and then what else this reminded me of is I remember two sports memories when I was around this age. Number one, I don't know if I ever talked about this, but it's a really funny story. There was when I was in eighth grade, so when I was 14, there were basketball tryouts for middle school basketball. And there's only like 80 kids in my grade, but like half of the grade tried out. So there was like 40 dudes trying out. So the rule in middle school was, especially at my middle school, because it was a private Jewish middle school, is that if you wanted to play, you could play. They'll just make more teams. So there was the A team, the B team, the C team, and the fourth team with... The saddest name of all. Imagine something sadder than the D team.
It's really low.
It's so sad. Oh, and I was smart enough to know it. It was called the NBA team. The NBA team. As if we were so bad that to make us feel better. Wait, my golf
it was
is
after the D team. There was
no.
The NBA?
It was A team, B team, C team, and then the NBA team. As if you are so dumb and bad at basketball.
We're not even going to let you, like, legitimize you by saying you're a step below the C guys.
Yeah. So I tried out, and I thought I did pretty well, but I when they started listing off the teams, A team, all my friends, B team, some of my friends, C team, not even me, NBA team, all the people who have pretty much never played basketball before, and me, and I'm like, oh my God, this is mortifying. Some of them are happy because they're on the fucking NBA team, but I have to, like, tell them, no, it's patronized.
It's really bad, guys.
Kobe's in the NBA.
We blew the tryout.
So I was in a situation where I'm like, this is kind of embarrassing. Maybe I should just quit. I don't want to play with all these people that never played basketball before.
These scrubs.
But I played. I stayed with it. It was actually really fun because they appropriately put me on the worst league, but I was the best player in the worst league. So compared to somebody that's never played basketball before, I was like averaging 18 points a game because I can actually shoot.
You could dunk all of a sudden.
So it felt great to be the best player on the worst, saddest name team.
Oh, man, that's funny.
So that one wasn't quite for college, but it did remind me or it gave me the idea to tell this guy to stick it out. Because quitting is probably even sadder than getting made fun of while being on the team.
Yeah. I mean, fuck this guy. I had to answer this question because I had to say, fuck this team captain who's, like, picking on you. That's the opposite of what a team captain is supposed to do.
Yeah, but, you know, high school sports, it's all just, it's like a combination of every terrible hormonal douchebag asshole thing happening at the same time.
High school sucks. But I the other thing I wanted to say is that he's only 15. Like, he might not have had its growth spurt yet. You know, like, you are so tiny when you're 15. Yeah. If you like practice playing soccer and keep on playing for the next 4 years, you will get a lot better.
It's also funny because when you said he's only 15, I thought you were talking about the bully. So it'd be funny to be like, if this guy gave him a comeback. It's like, what the fuck are you being a bully for? You're only 15. Like, just start acting like you're 33. Dude, you're so, like, you're picking on me. You're a fucking 15-year-old.
You're 15, dude.
Yeah, how old are you? I'm 15, too. And I'm just saying.
We're both 15.
It doesn't matter because we're all 15. Compared to adults, we're kind of losers. Actually, I'm fucking the English teacher's wife. Really?
Amazing.
Jesus. How do you have a mustache already?
I'm 33. I'm the coach.
Are you? You should be on the over 21 team then. All right. Do you want to answer one more question before you have to go? I think you found three. I only found two.
Oh, yeah. I have a third. I have a third and final question.
Hell yeah.
All right. This is from a gal.
A gal. We'll call her Abraham Gal, or A Gal for short.
Okay, A Gal. So Abraham Gal writes, so I've managed to get myself into a bit of a situation. I broke up with my boyfriend a few months ago. No problems. It was very mutual, and we're still good friends. But when we broke up, the only rule he had was that I wasn't allowed to hook up with my best friend. My best friend and I have always been extremely close, and he has always been fairly affectionate to me to the point that it sometimes used to annoy my boyfriend while we were together. But there was never anything between us romantically, so at the time of my breakup, I agreed, thinking it would never happen anyway. Problematically, after my breakup, my relationship with my best friend began to change. We became closer, and our relationship became more sexually charged in a way I had not anticipated.
Oh no, but she promised her ex!
Since then, we've both fucked a few times, been fine. But we don't want any more than that. We definitely don't want to date each other, and know we're better off just being friends. So I have two questions. One, how bad of a person am I for sleeping with my best friend when I promised my ex-boyfriend I wouldn't? My best friend and ex are also very good friends, and it would completely fuck up the good friendship I have with my ex. Two, do I have to tell my ex-boyfriend this happened? Not many people know, and I don't think there's any way it will get back to him unless I tell him. I don't want to hurt him, but I didn't mean for this to happen. Anyway, thanks, and sorry for the long email. Love your show. Big fan for years. Toda, Abraham girl.
That's really funny. I love the idea of Abraham entering a pact after breaking up with someone. He's like, all right, we'll break up, but you can't hook up with your old boyfriend. He's like, all right, fine.
Done deal.
Shit.
You don't get to make rules
posthumously.
You don't even want to do rules in the relationship.
Yeah, that shouldn't even be stated if you're still in the relationship, let alone after you break up.
And it's so that happens all the time. Whenever you break up, there's just like a couple things that the person doesn't want to see you go and do.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody agrees to these things, but it doesn't,
it doesn't hold any water after the fucking fact.
Yeah, I don't even like the, hey, let's stay as friends thing. And that's completely within the two people. Once you start bringing other people, that guy never made a rule.
Right. It's so, and you never like get hit up by somebody like a couple months later and they're saying, you said we were going to be friends.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, that's just something I said to not hurt your feelings in the moment. I thought we both knew.
Yeah, I didn't think we were off to play basketball together on Saturday. You know, shit that I do with my actual friends.
Yeah. Ah, God.
So, no, you don't owe your ex-boyfriend anything. The one stickiness is the fact that the ex is friends with this guy.
Yeah.
That's... So he's like, it's kind of sad, but he's like, can you just not fuck my best friend? I don't think I can live with that. I'm down to break up, but promise me you won't fuck my best friend.
And that's, I guess I would say that she probably shouldn't have fucked her ex's best friend. That's like a little messy.
That's a sticky.
That's a little messy.
But it is her best friend.
Yeah, if it's, I guess like the three of you guys were best friends and you're just fucking everybody, that's fine.
Yeah.
Do you think she has to tell the person? I think that she was allowed to do it. I think it's fine that it happened.
I think it's more fucked up on the guy's behalf.
Right.
Like if your ex-girlfriend fucked me, you'd be more mad at me.
Yeah, because you and I have the relationship that you should respect. Her and I don't have any relationship that needs to be respected.
It's a love triangle, but only two of the nodes are connected.
Yeah.
It's a love carrot.
I guess like it's more up to the guy that your best friend, the guy that you've been fucking to tell your boyfriend or ex-boyfriend.
Or not tell him.
Or not tell.
But then it's a secret.
I would rather that he knows, because it's definitely the kind of thing that he might find out. And it seems like the longer a secret's been kept, the more it hurts.
Oh, I would say the opposite. Like if you found out that I had slept with your ex-girlfriend 8 years ago, you wouldn't be that mad.
I guess I wouldn't be. No, I wouldn't be like, 8 years ago is definitely, that's different. But it would probably eat at me a little bit.
Right. But if you found out that you break up with someone today and I hook up with them tomorrow, that would hurt the most.
Right. Yeah. But I think if I broke up with somebody 8 years ago and I found out you started hooking up with them the day after, maybe I'd still be mad that you kept that secret for so long.
Yeah. Has that ever happened to you?
A
friend hooking up with an ex?
Huh. I don't think so.
Tight.
Yeah, maybe it has. Not in like a meaningful way. I also have almost never cared about an ex.
Have you ever hooked up with a friend's ex?
I don't think so.
Good dude.
Maybe I have. I don't know.
Baller dude.
I've never done it in a way that's like come to a head that I can think of.
Yes, dude.
Yes, dude. I'm sure there's somebody out there that's listening. It's like, you fucking asshole, Jake.
Not even me. Broomhilda, 8'4", 712 stones.
I still love you.
All right, that's it. Post-Thanksgiving episode in the books. If you have your own questions, your own theme song submissions, please send that shit over to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. The opening theme song was written by Jesse Gold. The closing theme song is written by Lucas. What was your podcast recommendation again?
Oh, Twinnovation, John Gabris from High and Mighty.
Gabris on Twinnovation, and mine was me on Barely Friending. So check him out if you got some more time in your drive and want to listen to more of us. Highly recommend it.
While you're washing your dishes.
Wash that dish, bro. All right, we'll be back either Thursday or Monday. Bye.
Ciao.
Welcome to If I Were You.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.